Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be here to worship Him today. I'm glad you're here. You're welcome, wanted, needed. God's a great kingdom. He has a great work for us to do. We know He's going to visit us today and meet whatever need we have so that we can be His holy people. Before we begin worship, let's look at the announcements. You see the listed announcements, the Ladies Auxiliary Quilt Project to support the veterans, Mondays 9 to 12. Bible study Thursday, January the 4th at 10. Next Sunday, men's prayer breakfast at 7:30 a.m. Men, come and let's join there in that ministry. January the 7th, the quarterly business meeting at 5 p.m., Deacons meeting the 11th of January at 6:30, and the 21st, Sunday, 4 p.m., Ladies Auxiliary meeting. January the 28th, the Ladies Auxiliary are having a fundraiser meal after the worship. And you see about the fellowship hall or any of the facilities here. If you need to book those, see Donna. Any other announcements? Get you a poinsettia or two today. How about that?
There's more back in the library.
Yeah. Back there's plenty back there, okay? All right. We have an abundance. All right. Well, let's begin worship.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 813. Stand and sing Glory Be to the Father.
Responsive reading. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light.
Come, O Lord, send us your light.
O come, Emmanuel.
Come and bring the light of God.
Come and walk among us.
Be our Savior and our friend.
O come, Emmanuel.
Come and bring us your peace.
Father God, I exalt and praise your name this morning. It is good to be able to read these words, that you're Emmanuel, you're God with us. Overshadow us and fill us with your great light, that we will have vision and clarity in the great work that you want to do through us. Bless us as we worship. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You'll remain standing and turn to 271 in our hymnals. We're going to sing both verses of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You.
Sing through all this world.
Gray has our scriptures this morning.
Our Old Testament reading comes from Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 through chapter 62, verse 3. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet. Till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. And then the New Testament reading is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of the Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
continue to worship as we pray. Are there any needs we need to remember this morning?
Ann Crabtree, she's the sister of Judy Malpas. She had surgery, it was a complication. So pray for Judy and her sister Ann Crabtree.
Ann Crabtree, okay. Any other?
Tina Hill, she lost her daddy 2 months ago.
Okay. Nathan Tamir. Okay. Nathan Tamir. Any others?
James Williamson.
James Williamson. Okay.
Harry.
Okay. Mr. Harry. Any others?
Sandy Fisher.
Okay.
She's having surgery on knee surgery on Thursday.
Okay.
And my grandmother, too. She's having surgery.
Okay. Sandy's mother. April Heath, Christy Heath family, okay.
Daddy.
Yes.
Continue to pray for
Daddy. Okay, yes. For Greg. Lord's doing great things there, and we're just going to continue to exalt God and lift Greg in his hands. Any others?
Jeffrey Kennedy,
okay.
Pat Floyd Jones.
Who?
Pat Floyd Jones.
Okay, Pat and Floyd Jones, okay. Any others?
Marcy Howell,
okay. We could spend the rest of the day praying, couldn't we?
Amen.
God is good, and He already knows these needs and has a plan. Hallelujah. So let's pray for these, and there are also names listed on the back of the bulletin as you pray each day this week. Remember all of these. And certainly offer thanks to God. He's mighty good to us. And we've got a lot of things to be thankful for. He certainly gives us life of abundance. So let's take action together as we pray.
That you be with each and every one of you, Lord, as we worship together, as our pastor brings us your word. I pray that it will make a difference in each one of us, Lord, as we leave here. That we will show, as our mission says, that we're the light on you, the beacon on you. And I ask that you be with each one, Lord, that we shine for you. Pray this all in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to 272. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks.
Sitting on the ground.
Standing as we worship through giving. Let us pray. God, you've given us everything that we need to be holy and to carry out the great work that you're doing through us. Part of that blessing is you blessed us financially, and we want to return some of that to your great kingdom's work. Bless it. That the things that we do and say, the ministry that we carry on, will reach people for the cause of Christ. And thank you for the opportunity of giving. We give with joy in our hearts. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Stand for the doxology, please. And you may be seated. Our text today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. This is a portion of scripture where the birth of Jesus is foretold. It begins like this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, believe that, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your neighbor, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary. May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Man, what a story. Our thought today is, I wish you Christmas. I was thinking about Amazon.com wish list feature. Y'all know what that is?
I do.
Yeah. I mean, the Amazon wish list feature has changed the way many people do their Christmas planning. I mean, it's a good thing to know you're giving someone a gift that they really want and that they don't already have. I mean, really, it's practical and it makes good sense. Amazon may have perfected the wish list in recent years, but they didn't invent it. Christmas wish list have been around for a long time, especially with kids. They've always been encouraged to make one, make your wish list, and we're going to send it off to Santa Claus and see what happens. Christmas is a time of year when wishing is encouraged. Last week and this week, I wanted to take some time just to talk about all the things I wish for you during this holiday season. This is not a long series because it's a simple one. Last week I said I wish you Jesus, because when I wish you Jesus, I wish you everything. Joy, peace, forgiveness, and salvation, abundance and prosperity, and purpose and eternal life. When Jesus is the Lord of your life, His presence in your life is all you need. He's your everything. And this is my prayer, that you not only connect with Jesus this holiday season, but that you cling to Him with all that is within you. This week, my wish is that I wish you Christmas. Not just a Merry Christmas. Not just a good time or good gifts. Not just that the holidays are a happy time for you. But I want to wish you the full experience of this special, special day. Not in the American sense of the word, but in the biblical sense. That's because Christmas in America can get a little crazy at times. And I'm not going to rant and rave about commercialism and materialism and all about that. We know how crazy it can get. I remember a couple Christmases ago, the tragedy at a Walmart, 2021. Everybody was waiting out there on Black Friday. And when they opened the door, a man got trampled to death. And then all the people got mad when they had to close Walmart down to come and investigate. How do we make out any sense of such a thing? I mean, what do you say? Well, I hope you enjoy your tea set I bought you. We got it at the tragedy down there at Walmart. When we read the Christmas story in the New Testament, we get a totally different perspective of Christmas. We see the wonder of that day, the miracle that occurred, the hope that it represents. We see God at work among his people. And this is the Christmas that I wish for you. We want to take a look this morning at this passage, the story of Mary, the mother of Jesus, on the day when the angel visited her and announced to her all that would occur. In this story, I want us to see how this Christmas day is so special and what it really means. In wishing you Christmas, the full experience of this day, there are three things I hope become a reality in your life. Today and throughout the rest of your life. First of all, the first thing is, I wish you the favor of God. The angel Gabriel approached Mary that day, and he spoke these words. In verse 28, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And then he said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Now, before this happened, Mary was just a teenage girl living with her family in Nazareth, preparing to marry a man named Joseph. And she probably had no ambitions for her life beyond caring for her home and her husband and her children. She was rural, poor, a simple woman by worldly standards, just an insignificant woman. But with God, there is no such thing as an insignificant person. There is no person on this planet whom he doesn't see, whom he doesn't know, whom he doesn't love, whom he doesn't pursue, whom he doesn't wish the favor of God to fall upon them. With God, there's no such thing as an insignificant person. Listen. You may be poor, desperate, you may lack education, resources, you may be tucked away, obscure, rural, out of the way, feeling like a nowhere man, a nowhere land. But with God, you're not hidden. You're not obscure. You're not insignificant. God has a place for you, a plan for you, a purpose for you. And God is willing to bestow his favor upon you. He pursues you and he calls for you to put yourself in his care. He calls for you to trust him, to walk with him, to obey him, to submit to him. And he'll put you in your place, so to speak. He will pour out his favor in your life. What does his favor mean? You know, we can all use a little favor from time to time, can't we? It means blessing. Yes, it means blessing. The blessings of a happy home and the blessings of joy, the blessings of peace and abundance and prosperity, the blessing of knowing God personally. But God's favor also means that he will use you to do great things. He will do things beyond your imagination because it will be God working through your life to do God-sized things, things that will bring glory to God, God-sized things that will bring blessings to others. Look at Mary's case. She did the greatest thing of all. She gave birth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In your case, it means that God can use you to touch the lives of people all around you wherever you go. It can be a blessing to others, an inspiration to others. God can put you in situations where you can care for others. Teach others and influence others in a way that empowers them to fulfill God's calling on their lives. That's what it's all about. The favor of God means that he'll bless you and will use you. And church, I wish for you this Christmas the favor of God in your life. Second thing is, I wish for you the nothing is impossible experience. The word spoken to Mary by angel Gabriel, verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing. You know what nothing means? It means nothing. You know what impossible means? Impossible. There's nothing impossible with God. Clearly, what happened to Mary, that a virgin would give birth to a child, was an impossible experience, huh? Mm-hmm. One that could never be repeated. But when the angel spoke these words, he wasn't just talking about Mary and Joseph. He was also talking about her relatives, Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth and Zechariah were an older couple beyond childbearing years. They had never been able to have children, but in their older age, God blessed them in a special way. Elizabeth became pregnant with a child who was to become John the Baptist. And John the Baptist had a special role in the kingdom of God. He was called to challenge the status quo among religious establishments. He was called to preach repentance. He was called to prepare the way for the coming of God's chosen Messiah, Mary's son, Jesus of Nazareth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were old and childless. It appeared that biology was not on their side. But God made the seemingly impossible become a reality. And that's because nothing is impossible with God. The angel spoke these words to Mary, and I imagine these words were among the things she treasured in her heart over the years that we read about in Luke 2:51. I imagine Mary told this story to Jesus during his early years as a child as she spoke to him about God, the story of these special circumstances of his birth and the miracles that God performed among them. Isn't that something? This story, amazing as it is. I wish for you the nothing is impossible experience. And we're having one of those right now. Upload pending. Okay. Oh, just one second. So we think about this experience with Mary. And I wonder just how she would told Jesus. Jesus, you were born, and it's the most impossible thing that anyone could ever conceive in their mind. You know, I was a virgin. You were conceived by the Holy Spirit. And that's not the half of it, Jesus. Old John the Baptist, he too, his parents were beyond childbearing years. And all I can say, Jesus, is nothing is impossible with God. It's no surprise that years later, during Jesus' teaching ministry, that he spoke the words that he must have heard from his mother Mary. Matthew 19:26, Jesus said, with God all things are possible. And in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, everything is possible for him who believes. Church, we need to hear these words today. Because God is still at work all around us. And we need to join him in his great work of doing the things that man conceives to be impossible because they don't know God Almighty. I wish this experience for you. The nothing is impossible experience. I hope you see God move in your life in miraculous ways because this is how we come to know God. We know him when we witness his awesome, nothing is impossible power working in our lives. I wish this for you. Just like the Israelites at the Red Sea and Daniel in the lion's den, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Like the feeding of the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and fishes, and like the daughter of Jairus being raised from the dead, like Peter escaping from prison, as the church prayed for him. I pray that you too will experience that nothing is impossible. Power of God. And I know many of you have stories to tell. Some of you have testimony to share about God's working in your life. Like maybe there was no way I could pay that bill. But at the right time, the right amount of money arrived at the right moment. Some of you could say, well, the doctor's report really weren't that good and encouraging. But God intervened and he restored my health. Maybe you could say my marriage was falling apart and we were headed for divorce court, but God intervened and now we're on our second honeymoon. How many of you have had that nothing is impossible experience? Church, I wish this for you. I say, preacher, how does that happen? The angel used a phrase here that I really like. He said in verse 35, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Our God's a big God. And figuratively speaking, he cast a big shadow. And the closer we get to him, the more he overshadows us with his love and with care and protection. And that's why the psalmist said, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's why he continued to say, the psalmist, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. The closer we get to him, the more engulfed we are by his shadow. And when we allow the God of the universe to overshadow us, when we live lives truly devoted to him, he moves in ways that we cannot even begin to understand and imagine. When we allow ourselves to become overshadowed by his presence, we experience firsthand the nothing is impossible power of Almighty God. That's why I hope you will live each day of your life close to him, as close as you can possibly be. Because, church, there's no limit to what God can do. That's why I wish you a true Christmas experience. So the third thing is, yes, it gets better. I wish for you total submission to God's will. The angel spoke to Mary about all that God was planning to do. God always has a way to reveal what he's going to do when he gets ready to do it. And here he is revealing what is going to happen. And Mary gave this simple response in verse 38. She said, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. You know, a lot of times we don't want to do that, do we? You know, at times we tend to be so self-centered that we want it our way. And if we don't get our way, we throw a little temper tantrum, don't we? I know y'all probably never done that. You know, we're so self-centered, but, you know, truly, folks, we need to be God-centered. We don't need to be asking, what do I like? We need to be asking, what is it that God wants? What is it God is trying to do to us? Not our will, but his will. I'm sure right away Mary understood the implications of this announcement. She was not yet married, and she was to be given a child. She knew there was a chance that Joseph would abandon her. She knew, I'm sure, that people would get the wrong idea. Imagine that. That tongues would start to wag. She understood right away that this favor of God being bestowed upon her, that being used by God in this special way, would come with a price. And this caused a crisis of belief. That can happen in our lives when God reveals to us and urges us to move in the direction he wants us to go. We come to that crisis of the belief, and we have to decide, am I going to go with God or am I going to stick with me and what I want to do? What would Mary do? At this moment, she made a decision not to give in to the fear of what other people might think. At this point, she made a decision not to give in to the fear of the unknown. At this point, she made a decision to say, in effect, I belong to God, And I know he's at work in this. So I'm going to be let it done his way in my life. And church, I wish this for you. That you can experience the full and complete surrender to the will of God in your life. My prayer is that you and me and all of us can put aside our self-centered desires and yield ourselves completely to the God who loves us with an everlasting love. This surrender is the most important part of my Christmas wish list. It is this attitude of surrender that God makes possible to experience His favor, that makes it possible to experience His miraculous power. When we surrender to the will of God, we position ourselves to be used in the great work that He is doing today and every day. His work of blessing others and building His kingdom. And church, this is where we need to be. Right in the center of God's will. Right in the center of His purpose and His plan. I believe that God wants to do a great work among us. And we need to be ready and willing to join Him. Amen? I wish you this Christmas experience. Christmas is about God doing things that only God can do. Things that He does in the presence of His people. From the very first announcement, we learned that God wants to pour out His favor among His people. We learned that God wants to move in our lives in ways that reveal His nothing, His impossible power. We learned that our response must be, I'm the Lord's servant. God, may it be to me as You've said. And maybe you've made a mess of things in your life. Maybe your life is broken in many ways. Maybe Christmas is a time that seems to magnify all the problems and all you're lacking in this life. You may have family problems or financial problems or health problems or stress problems. You may feel lonely. But I want you to know that God sent His Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but through Him we might be saved. That through Him we might experience life to the fullest. Last week we saw that Jesus came to heal broken hearts. He came to take away the ugliness and the shame in our lives and replace it with beauty and honor and oil of gladness. He wants to pour out His favor among you. He wants you to experience Him as never before. How do we get there? We surrender to Him completely. Just like this simple, rule, out-of-the-way little teenage girl surrendered to the will of God some 2,000 years ago. Surrender to Him. Surrender your heart to Him. Place your future from this day forward in His hands. Cling to Him. Allow Him to be present in your life every day. Because His presence is enough. It's all you need. During this holiday season, I could wish a lot of things for you. I could wish you success at your job. I could wish you that you would have the most successful financial year you've ever had. I could wish you that you would have a good retirement. I could even wish that your whole Amazon list would be filled. I could wish you a host of other things. But I wish you Christmas. I wish you see the wonder of His day and the miracle that occurred and the hope that it represents. I wish for you to see God at work among us. And this is the Christmas that I wish for you. I wish you the full experience of a life-changing connection with Jesus Christ. Because when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, you received it all. You become His child. And since you're His child, God has made you an heir. You become an heir of all that God has to offer in this life, in the life to come. Glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
Church, I wish you Christmas. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the life of Mary. It's an example to us. That God wants to work in our lives to bring glory to you, just as you did through Mary's life. So today, Father, we look to you and ask your Spirit to speak to us and to move us in that direction that we need to go, and help us to be willing to submit to your way and to your will. In Christ's name, amen.
Let's all turn to 292, stand and sing verses 1 and 2 of Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
For your presence here today and bringing the spirit of worship, carry it with you out and just pour it on somebody else this week. And continue to remember those who have asked answer in our prayers. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Come on, Dennis.
Just a second.
Yep. Okay. Come up here. So everybody can hear. Thank you.
The Vision and Mission Statements Committee that was given the job of coming up with a strategy to put those statements into action and help grow this church has completed its first step, a 12-week course that asked participants to re-examine their relationship with Jesus. It met at the home of one of the participants, just like the early church. The committee decided its first step should be to call on God, as his servants did repeatedly throughout the Bible. Groups or individuals who struck out on their own without consulting God first did not fare well, time and time again. We did not want that for this committee or this church. Pastor R. recommended a course called Experiencing God that he believed fit our goals. It turned out to be an eye-opener for everyone who took part. It was not a Bible study. It used the Bible for reference, but its aim was to make participants ask themselves hardcore questions about their real relationship with the Christ we all say we believe in and want to join one day. As a second step, the committee wants to offer this course to anyone and everyone in the church. Joe has recommended that a group consists of no more than 10 people so that everyone can contribute to the discussion. We will have as many groups as we have people who are interested in signing up for a group, because we have several members of the first group who have decided they are willing to lead a new group, and we hope this spreads through the church. The course requires a commitment from it, but also anybody who was part of the first group will tell you it was deeply rewarding, I think. And I hope some of those folks will maybe speak up right now. But anyway, I have a sign-up sheet, and it's something that Joe feels strongly that is good for this church, and we hope a few of y'all will take part.
All my life I've gone to church, but it did
what we studied was exactly Joe's sermon today. And it makes you realize that your relationship with God might be more about you than it is about God. And I have reexamined my relationship with God, and I'm still working on that. It won't happen overnight, but this was a very rewarding course, and I highly recommend that if you have the time and the opportunity that you participate.
So what we looked at was like 12 weeks as a workbook. This is not a class where somebody stands up and lectures, okay? It's not like a traditional Sunday school class where you have a teacher that talks, you know, for 30 minutes or whatever. This is a class where everyone participates and everyone teaches whatever they've learned that week that God's impressed upon them. You know, what I have found is a lot of people tell me they believe in Jesus, but they can't tell anybody about Jesus. It's because, you know, people have never been given the opportunity to learn to verbalize their faith. You come and you sit and you listen to me. You know, everybody don't get to stand up and talk about what God's done in their life this past week, which we should. Testimony should be a part of every time we meet. But this class will help you learn to verbalize what you really believe about God to the point that you're able to tell someone because you know how to. Okay? 12 weeks. Hour a day, maybe 30 minutes to an hour a day is all it takes. And then whenever the group decides to meet, wherever they want to meet. That's the great thing about this, is so flexible, just like the early church, so flexible to meet wherever you want to meet. And this is just a basic entry level type of course. You don't have to have any kind of degree or college education or seminary background. You don't even need to have even read the Bible. I mean, this is just basic entry level to get your relationship with God off on the right foot so you can begin that walk with Him every day. You're going to have to come up here then. Leanne said she would only speak if she didn't have to come up. And we wanted to hear what she had to say.
Okay, this is sort of testimony. I'm going to say part of what Leanne said. I discovered that I have been doing religious things, but I haven't had a relationship with God. I've done the religious things, but this I found this in this study. It says, revival means the life of God returns to your soul. Now, I highly recommend this course. Johnny and I did it, and every day was a revelation. It was just, it'll step on your toes. But when they say it's a commitment, it meets 12 weeks. There are readings to do daily, 5 days a week. And I look forward to doing the readings, which was highly unusual for me. And I look forward to going to the sessions. And the week of the last session, Johnny said, what am I going to do now? It was that. Okay, but here's what I really wanted to say. I know you're glad I'm getting to it. In this study, as I mentioned to you several weeks ago, God led me, or is leading me, to help us to pray more. To bathe everything we do in prayer first. And Miss Shirley and I have both been led to this, and we would like for us to have a prayer team here. Not just the names on the back of the bulletin, but a prayer team. So I'm asking all of you to pray about this. And if you feel that God is leading you to be a part of a prayer team, and I know there are prayer warriors here. I'm not going to call you out by naming you, but I know who some of you are. I'm trying not to look at you. Anyway, I know who some of you are. And pray about it this week. I won't ask you to tell me today, but it will require that you pray every day. And we'll get together, and we won't meet together. It's praying on your own time. And please pray about this. And next Sunday, if you feel that God is leading you to be part of this prayer team, you let me know, and Miss Shirley and I will give you the broad strokes of what we hope to accomplish. But this is something that in this course or study that I and Miss Shirley have been led to do or to start or to whatever. Thank you.
Does anyone else have anything to say?
Joe, I'm not going to try to get up those steps. I do encourage all of you to take this study. It is worth your time, and you will grow spiritual. And support this pray effort. Our country is in desperate need today. We as people, we have so many sick, we have so many needs for prayer. And God answers prayer. Mm-hmm. We see what he's done in Greg's life and in our own lives if we look back. So be a part of this team too. And let's all pray together. He says if we believe in him and we follow his commands, we return to him, he will bless our land. He will heal our land. Mm.
Amen.
So please support us all as we grow.
The good thing is there's no age restrictions, okay? And we're even looking at gearing one towards our young people, going in that direction too. So, yes, Michael.
That's what I was thinking to say. We have some land up to you, and we have led to start there, and we just thank you
Come on. Yeah, you got to come up here.
I was also a part of experiencing God, and it was amazing. I can say that lead, and that's good. I've always wanted God to go with me and bless me and my efforts, but he wants us to go with him. He is moving all around us, in our midst, every single second of every single day. And no word from God will ever fail. That's what got me last week, if you were here, when I teared up and reading the word. It won't. So, if you think you want to do it, pray about it and do it, because it's amazing. I grew up in church, but I didn't grow up in a church where I could come and speak like this. And so this is tough. Because I worry that I will say it just not so eloquently or the right way, and he doesn't care. So, your children should do it if they're that age that they want to. Talk to them about that. It's wonderful. And this is what our church needs. Because he's here and he's moving. And he wants you to experience him.
Yeah. All right, anyone else? Well, if you think, do it. Let's pray. Lord, you've been good to us. You've blessed us. You've shown yourself to us today. And we know that's how we experience you. We experience you when you work through us, your people, and we're able to see your glory rest upon each of us as we move and go and we walk with you and speak those things you impress upon us. Bless us this week. You give us, hopefully, Lord, we think that we'll have another week, and that's what we're assuming, I guess, today. But as we go forth into this next week, help us to realize that you're present with us, you're overshadowing us, and you're wanting to do a great work. Help us to be willing to follow you and give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.